killers, murderers, decoding the crime verse.
911, what's your emergency?
What's up? Welcome to Decoding the Crime Verse. I am Nosy Lee and I'm not here alone.
I'm Danny.
And this week we are doing a show on Alcatraz,
the prison. We've decided to take a break from the serial killers just because last week's show
messed us up.
Just a little bit.
Edward Gein.
No, so for those of you who don't know, Alcatraz is a federal prison. Its full name is the Alcatraz Federal Penitentiary, or the United States Penitentiary of Alcatraz Island, and it is in San Francisco, California. It is currently closed, and it was a maximum security prison, which means that the worst of the worst were sent to this prison. So just quickly, like a brief history of it. It was just mapped out and named in 1775 by, I don't know how to say this, some Spanish guy. And it was named basically Alcatraz Island, but there's obviously the Spanish name. Again, I don't speak Spanish, so I'm not even going to begin to try and pronounce the Spanish name.
Juan Manuel de Ayala.
There you go.
That was the guy's name. What it was called before that?
La
Isla de los Alcatraz. That
one. Which basically means island of pelicans, because there were so many pelicans on the island.
Yeah.
It then in 1850 got turned into a military base, and then in 1933 the military handed it over to the Justice Department for it to be converted into a prison, which it opened a year later. But unfortunately in 1963 it had to close down because of the costs of running the prison. And then in 1972 it opened up as a tourist attraction, and you can actually still go now and visit it. My mom went when she was a little girl.
Ooh.
And we actually have the prison manual, or the prison code of conduct.
Yeah.
Each prisoner was given upon arrival, which is, like, so cool. Like,
that is cool.
And she was going to throw it out. I was like, no, give it to me. I'll take it. So now it just sits in my bedroom. But, yeah.
So the cells were, like, tiny. When I say small, like, really small. They had cells that were 9 feet, which is 2.7 meters, by 5 feet, which is 1.5 meters, by 7 feet, which is 2.1 meters high. Is small.
I mean, 1.5 meters. Now, I'm 1.67. So if I lay if I lay flat on the ground, I wouldn't be able to fit in the cell.
Yeah.
And I mean, I'm like quite short. I'm not tall.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm the shortest in my family. And I remember Alcatraz is also only male inmates.
Yeah.
So like, that must have been tiny for all these like guys to just be in this little
room. I hate
room.
Small spaces. I don't know how I'd be able to actually.
I mean, my brother's nearly 2 meters high. Like, he'd probably be like hitting the roof of his cell.
Yeah.
Like, what? No.
And they were also very primitive, these cells, because they lacked security.
Well, not security, but privacy.
Privacy, rather.
Yeah, it couldn't lack security, otherwise people would.
It lacked security. No, no. People escaped. I believe they still. No, not now they did. But I believe they made
it. We'll get there, but we'll get there. It was actually also known as The Rock, which is because there was no running water on the island, which actually is one of the reasons it had to close down, because every day they had to ship in fresh water and then ship out all the waste. So that was the cost, because now you got a little boat's got to come there with all the water, and then it's got to go all the way back. So,
Can I just say that that would be a good prison break to, when the ship comes in, to go on the ship and on the ship. But then, like, they would have to, I'm pretty sure, like, when the ship came, like, all of them had to be locked in their cells.
Well, I mean, they were counted 13 times a day. So, I mean, there was very rare window for you to escape. Like, 13 times a day, that's like every 2 hours.
Yeah.
Which means you only get 2 hours to escape.
But now, in that 2 hour period, listen, when that boat is there, because I wasn't going to swim or risk my life.
There are sharks in that water.
No.
We Googled. There are sharks.
How's it going to risk it? But that seems like a very good, like, you make friends with one of those guys and somehow anyway.
No. But that was the thing. Alcatraz was supposed to be this inescapable prison. I mean, it's in the middle of the ocean.
Yeah.
Like, you can't exactly just swimmer get out and then run away. Like, you actually have to make your way across an ocean. And apparently, this I've read that the San Francisco Bay waters are very rocky and the current is very strong.
Yeah.
So if you try to swim, like, the chances of you being pulled out to sea were, like, very high.
And the water's really cold
and
as well.
That's another thing. It was actually an interesting fact. Alcatraz, at the time, was the only prison to have hot showers. Because they thought if the inmates had hot showers, then their body wouldn't be accustomed to cold water.
Yeah.
So if they had to jump in the water, they'd probably end up with, like, their heart, like, failing because it's too cold, which is actually pretty smart if you ask me. Security tactic.
And they say it was designed to stop violence, so most of the rooms had metal detectors at the doors. That is extreme.
There was actually a funny story. Al Capone's mom went through one of the metal detectors, but the metal in her corset kept putting it off, so Al Capone's mom had to get undressed so that they could see her corset.
Crazy.
I was like...
But I guess you can never be too safe.
No, you can never be too
safe. Especially Al Capone's mom. You have to watch her like a hawk because...
You know.
That man.
That man. They had four blocks, A to D. D was your solitary confinement, so when you do all your naughty things in prison, they just ship you... there. And listen, I've been in a solitary confinement cell. We went on a tour of a prison for school.
Yeah.
They put us in there for 3 minutes. I was about to lose it. It's so dark and dingy. Mm-mm.
So they don't put any windows on it and it's small.
It's literally like a solid door. When they close the door, you can't see your hand in front of you.
Oh, my word.
Like, it is, and you can't hear anything, and it's just like, there's no bed, no nothing. It's like rock floor, rock walls in this room of dark. And I flipped. 3 minutes, I was like, get me out. I can't imagine.
But then does that help the prisoners or does it make them worse? Because me walking out of that, I'd be like frantic.
Well, people did go mentally insane. I mean, there have been times where people went violently insane in this prison. I mean, and there were also 5 suicides. So I feel like, again, if you know me, Prison Break, that's the show. There was an episode where they put one of the characters in solitary confinement. He lost it within the first day of being there. Completely lost it. They had to send him to the psych ward. It was part of his plan. That's beside the point. But it shows how that isolation, it's not for me. I'd freak. I would absolutely freak.
And they had remotely triggered tear gas canisters installed throughout the prison. That is like security another level.
The guards were so armed. They were armed to the teeth. They'd walk around with machine guns, shotguns, pistols, tear gas equipment. Like, you weren't going to go up against a guard. It wasn't going to end well for you.
Yeah.
Like, no. And, like, I mean, it's maximum security. These are your worst of your worst, so it's understandable. Yeah.
And also, it's far away from everyone else. So, the call for help, it would take too long.
Yeah.
For people to get there if, like, something happened. I guess that's why they have to be that heavily armed with stuff.
But, like, yeah, I don't know. I'd never survive. I'd be so freaked out.
I think what's crazy is that the prison guards had to live on the island with their families.
Imagine that, like, your 3-year-old son is living
on an island. On Alcatraz. Yeah. Not even any island, on Alcatraz. And what did their rooms look like? Was it like, because I know it was a military base, and military, like, usually...
It's very formal.
It's formal, and it's not very comfortable.
Well, maybe they were allowed to, like, bring their own items and stuff like that. But, like, I don't think it would
but
be, like, homely.
But the design and structure, I don't think it would be...
Nah.
I wouldn't want to grow up on Alcatraz.
No, thank you. And while the prisoners were given 4 rights, food, clothing, shelter, and medical care, everything else you had to earn. So if you wanted to work, if you wanted access to the library, if you wanted to have visits, you had to earn it by good behavior. And did you know the average Alcatraz inmate read 75 to 100 books a year?
That's good.
Getting education.
Yeah.
In prison.
Learning how to read. They'd only earn 5 to 12 cents though. Which for me is like... But I guess in prison, what...
What are you going to do with the money?
Yeah, like, what are you going to do with the money?
You can't exactly buy... Okay, they did the illegal stuff.
Yeah.
I mean, but like... Can't exactly go out and buy yourself a nice pair of shoes.
Especially if you've got like a violent bank robber in there. You don't want them making any more money. Because who knows what they would do with that money.
Yeah, but otherwise than that, I feel like it was a very standard prison, like the way it was set out. I mean, the architecture wasn't anything special.
Yeah.
The prison. But the reason we chose to do this was because of two events that actually happened at this prison.
Yes.
And the first one we're going to speak about is the Great Escape from Alcatraz Prison. So it was one of the most ingenious prison breaks of all time, if it worked. In 1962, inmates and bank robbers Frank Morris and John Clarence Anglin vanished from Alcatraz. Okay? The routine early morning bed check turned out to be anything but ordinary. Three convicts were not in their cells. Instead, in their place were dummy heads made of plaster, flesh-tone paint, and real human hair that apparently had fooled the night guards. Which makes sense, because, yeah. I mean, in the dark, you basically, if you just want to count the head, okay, they're there, move on to the next person, right? Prison went into lockdown, and there was a search that began, but people have been stumped for decades because bodies have never been recovered, leaving many to wonder if they perished in the choppy San Francisco Bay or if they made it to shore and freedom. To escape from Alcatraz, bucket list stuff, let me just tell you. Could you imagine? That'd be
but
so
their
cool.
plan was really, like, I, like, they thought everything out.
They
was like,
were thorough.
I mean, when I saw the dummy heads
it
that
looked
were made.
Like a head.
Exactly. And, like, I wouldn't have necessarily thought of that. I was like, let's stuff our pillows and stuff our blankets and whatever. But they thought it out
they thought it out so well. And actually, if you actually look at their plan, like, everything they did was very, like, because it was so thought, like, yeah. well thought out, I really hope they did. I know I should not want these criminals out the prison, but yeah. I really hope they pulled it off. Like,
it was too much of a good plan for them not to have pulled
it off.
Yeah, it
would be too anticlimactic if they just died in the water.
Yeah.
But, like, for example, each room had a vent, and these three guys had, when they decided to work together, asked to have their cell changed. So you could request if you wanted yeah. to move cells. And it was actually granted. And each cell had a vent. What they did was so clever. So if you look at engineering and stuff and you take a drill, which they made out of a vacuum cleaner.
Yeah.
What? Like, what?
Who are these people?
Who are these people? If you drill at the weak spots in a wall, you don't need a huge amount of pressure to break through the wall. You just need to push and it breaks.
Yeah.
So they did that and then stuffed it with like pillow sheets and stuff like that. And because it was also at the back, it wasn't noticeable for when like the guards came around. And then they just put the vent back over it.
Yeah.
But like, that's already like, guys, brilliant.
Right?
Brilliant, brilliant. And then they each took turns, drilled their holes, and they used to do it so, guys, Alcatraz had a rock band.
Yep.
It was called the Rock Islanders.
Uh-huh.
Nepal, okay. They were jamming. And in happy hour, which was the prison's time where they could practice their instruments, that's when they drilled.
Yeah.
Because they obviously got to hide the noise.
Yeah.
But like, already.
I think that was so brilliant. And like, the fact that they made their boats out of raincoats.
Yeah, they just stole like 50 raincoats. And then once they were on the other side of their cells, there was an unused corridor.
Yeah.
They used to go there and build, like, life jackets and their raincoat, little life raft.
And the little dummy heads
and the dummy heads. And that corridor led to the roof. So when they were going to escape,
it was
Nicole, in the night, I'm going to get out of bed. I'm going to go through my little hole. I'm going to go through the corridor, up the roof, over the wall, and we are home free.
I mean, like, these people had an entire workspace. These people...
A whole workshop. They found an entire workshop that the guards had missed.
That is crazy. Like
what?
What was happening in that space that the guards weren't looking there or whatever? But it was also really cool that they found that happy hour to build in, because that was so smart, because the guards would think, oh, it's just the noise from bad.
Nope.
They were drilling. For me, personally, I don't think all three made it.
I also don't think all three made it. I watched a documentary years ago when I found out about the escape. And apparently, Frank Morris was hella smart. Which obviously, do you see this plan? I'm going to give him points for his plan.
Yeah.
So apparently, the brothers used him.
Yeah.
The theory is the brothers used him and then killed him.
They could have. I mean, like, can you imagine we are on this boat made of raincoats? Maybe initially they didn't plan to, but, like, if we're battling to get across and we are related and this guy is like just not there. Like, you're going over. I'm sorry.
Bye-bye.
Like, and there was also, I also watched another documentary where they said a ship saw a body floating. And they didn't report it right then and there. They waited to get to their destination. And then days later, they reported it. And they couldn't find the body at that time. And it was one body. Exactly. So could it have been?
So my initial thought is that they used the man.
Yeah.
Like, come on, let's plan an escape, guys. Yeah. You're going to be free.
And I'm sure they were just sitting like, yeah, we're going to do all the hard work. You just do the planning, and then we are going
to
put everything
together. Yeah, we'll row us to freedom. Yeah. Like, we'll do that. But then in the boat, dead of night, quack, in the water. Bye. Yeah.
And then they made it, because there's even pictures of the both of them.
Yes, that's another thing. There's multiple pictures. It's not just one. And not even just that. The family members would receive cards on their birthday anonymously, except their signatures are on the card.
Yeah.
And at family funerals, it was always said that at the back, there were always these two women that were like very bulky and they heavily makeup and always had like a veil that no one knew who these people are, but they came to all the family funerals. So like, is it the brothers? They were spotted in Mexico a few times. I'm telling you, they
John
survived.
Anglin sent a letter to the cops.
In 2018.
And he said that he's dying of cancer. And he said, I'll turn myself in.
For the treatment.
But I need treatment. I don't see anybody.
Exactly.
That sounds to me like it's true. Because he was really battling and he's like, Flip, these people I've been wanted and let me just exchange this for my health.
But let's just look at the fact. If it was fake, okay?
Yeah.
And the FBI had agreed. And now you show up and you're not John
Anglin.
What are you going
to
do?
They just arrest you.
So, exactly. Because it's not like he was asking them for just to send money or like that, because that could have been fake. But the fact he's willing to turn himself in, what was he going to do? If it's a fake person, what are you going to do when they say yes and then you're not actually John Anglin?
And they ignored him. They ignored the letter.
But that was my thing with the FBI. On their actual FBI website, it says the Federal Bureau of Prisons say that they drowned once they got off Alcatraz and their bodies were swept away into the Pacific Ocean. End of story. That is literally what it says. My thing is, the FBI...
I think they knew.
You know what I think it was? I think they specifically were like, no, never. Alcatraz, inescapable. Yeah. They can't let this thing... Oh, flip, three guys actually escape.
Yeah.
Because then what? Then you're going
to
get all the other people in the prison
to
escape. So I think they were just like, you know what?
Let's just kill these people off.
Let's just kill them off. It's just easier for us. The paperwork. Because also if they get killed off, you don't have to find them.
Yeah.
You don't have to put in the effort.
Yeah.
You don't have to put in the resources.
People were finding them for you, though. I mean, people were like, here's a photo of them here. Here's a photo of them there. It wouldn't have been too much work. And but I do agree with you.
I mean, okay, it could be like a lot of work. Because especially like they ended up in like foreign countries.
Yeah.
And I suppose it is a thing. But like... Have you, as a detective, as a police officer, as an FBI agent, did you not swear to uphold the criminal justice system and always stand up against evil and crime, but now you're just going to let them run free?
Yeah.
Nah, I don't know. They
Plus
were very...
they murderers, because they killed that man.
Yeah, they were very... The FBI kind of just shut the case through and through.
Yeah.
I didn't... That's what I didn't like about it. It's like, it was like, oh, they drowned. In the story, I'm like,
that doesn't sound right.
Okay, like, are we really just going to leave it there? But that's my own opinion.
Yeah, and then there was another event that took place.
The Battle of Alcatraz.
Yes, and it was later dubbed the Battle of Alcatraz. And it was a 48-hour incident. I would love... Okay, there's a movie called 36 Hours, right?
Ooh.
Which is about basically... war and stuff and the 36 hours that they had to endure. I'd love to watch a movie named 48 Hours with the Battle of
Alcatraz. That would be so good.
A 48-hour, like everything that happened in that 48-hour period, I would love to watch that. Because it began when the prisoners overpowered the guards and obtained firearms and keys to the cell block. Frustrated by a locked door, the prisoners exchanged gunfire with the remaining guards and order was restored only when the U.S. Marines... They needed backup for this.
The Marines even.
Cell block under a hail of grenades and rifle. They had to use grenades. these prisoners, I'm telling you, were a lot. Well, and then two guards and three escapees were killed, and more than a dozen guards were wounded in the firefight.
So, again, this was another escape attempt. Unfortunately, this one was unsuccessful. There were 14 escape attempts in total, and we obviously spoke about the one we just did. But with this one... This one was epic, man.
This one was
This is movie
they
worthy.
They would have all made it off the island had the Marines not come. Because at that point, they had already overpowered many of the gods.
Well, they actually would have made it off the island. Okay, so let's just give you a few of the facts so you kind of understand what happened. Yeah. So what happened was they realized that the cell bars were quite wide to try to get to the gun armory. So the one guy, his name was Bernard Coy. He was also a bank robber. Shame. There were a lot of bank robbers.
Yeah.
Anyway, he realized that he could get in. So my man's started losing weight. A whole 20 pounds. Mm-hmm. Now, I'm sorry. You got to be dedicated.
Yeah.
You got to be dedicated to give up food.
If I was a god, I'd be like, why is this guy
getting so skinny? Anyway. So what happened was a guard went into their cell, they overpowered him, got the keys.
Yeah.
Got to that room, squeezed through the bars, got the guns, and then went full blasting on the rest of the guards. The thing was, the guard they stole the keys from hid the essential keys behind the toilet in their cell. So when they like attacked him, I don't know how he did it, by some miracle, he got the keys for the cell block off. So that's why they couldn't actually get out. They would have been out within maybe like 6 hours max if they had the right keys. But the guard had gotten the central keys off and hidden them. That's why they were stuck there. That's why it became this 48-hour thing with all these hostages. Because when they realized they couldn't escape, they took hostages because they were like, okay, well, then we're going to use these people to be like, let us go or we're going to kill.
Yeah.
Right? So if the guard hadn't hid the keys, mates would have just been gone.
Would have had the biggest prison escape in history.
Because, you know, the criminals
would have been so interesting.
You know, because, you know, the criminals, they would have opened the doors.
Yeah.
Which means not only the three of them would have gotten out. Everyone would have just been like,
bye! Alcatraz. That would have been...
Because prison riots are hectic, okay? If you've ever seen in TV shows or movies, when prison riots break out, it's not a small thing. I mean, these are your... I mean, especially with a maximum level security prison, these are like your worst of your worst criminals. They know how to handle themselves in a riot.
Yeah.
Okay. So, and well, because they didn't have the keys, they couldn't get out. And then the Marines and police were sent in. And then they were all three. Well, the three who organized it were all killed. But so they, unfortunately, we did not have our escape.
Please hear my heart when I say this. Please understand my heart and not my words. I wish it was successful.
No, same.
Because then I just think it would have been such a big part of history.
It would have been,
such an interesting...
You know how we spoke about
part
in
of
our,
history.
Our episode with the Casanova killer, where it was too anti... The ending was too anticlimactic.
Yes.
It's the same thing here. Man is losing weight. They have planned this.
You know what I mean?
Instigate a whole prison riot.
Yes.
For them not to get out.
I wish they did.
Because
then we would have also had the stories thereafter, them hunting these people down. Most wanted. Who got away? Who did they never hear from?
It's like it would have been so much more. It's like the same with the escape we talked about earlier.
Yeah.
It's too anticlimactic for them to have just died in the water.
Yeah.
It's more interesting if they survived and that, are these letters really from these guys? Were they really the people in Mexico?
Yeah.
Like, guy, I feel like we are a bit conspiracy theorists. But it's you gotta love it. But the fact that to call out the Marines. Now, guys, the Marines.
That's not a joke. You don't like
you don't
play
joke.
With those
You don't
people.
Play with the Marines. Have you guys seen a Marine soldier?
Yeah.
It's just like, what? We're in America, we were at a Navy thing to look at some boat.
Yeah.
Americans take their history so seriously.
They
do. So at all their museums, history museums, they always have either army men there to protect it or the Marines.
Yeah.
And I remember it was the ship. It was a battleship, but it was really cool. It was like, you know, Pirates of the Caribbean.
Yeah.
It was like one of those ships with cannons and sails.
Ooh.
And we walked out, and this Marine walked, and I was just like, oh, my soul. Okay. Hello. I'm leaving. They're like huge. So now they call in the whole Marines, and they come there with
grenades
and everything. Could you imagine?
That was epic. I want to watch a movie. Anyone listening who wants to make
do you want to make us a movie, please?
show us what happened. But actually change the ending. Let them escape.
Yeah, let them escape. Let's have a more decent ending.
You know what I mean? We've just planned your movie for you. So if we ever watch this movie, we better get...
I feel like, Marlene, we could come up with some solid movies.
Yeah, we really could.
We really could.
So there are three famous people from this prison. They were in the prison.
They were inmates. I mean, but like, obviously, for a whole 30 years of a prison being open, obviously, many people went through the doors, all that kind of... stuff, but these are three that we were like, yes.
Yeah. The first one was Al Capone.
Oh.
Otherwise known as Scarface. We know the movie. We've seen the movie of this man.
Can I just stop you right there, guys? Yeah. I feel like in the future we need to just do an episode on Al Capone.
Yeah.
That man.
Yeah.
That man right there. That man. If you don't know who he is, I'll just give you a little summary. He was a gangster, American gangster in the 20s. He was in a Chicago outfit. And, well, I can't even explain how much, I know I'm going to sound weird, but like, you know what? I don't look up to him because he's a criminal.
Yeah.
But like, I don't even know how to explain it. He's just like he's not a hero. He can't be a hero. But he's like high up there in my books.
And he only had a 7-year reign in crime.
That was as leader.
As leader of the
Chicago, of the Chicago outfit.
This man was doing the most.
But you know what's so thing? You know, I think this what really makes me like appreciate him is like, he orchestrated the St. Valentine's Day Massacre.
Yeah.
Now, you know, for it to be called a massacre, it's got to be gruesome and violent.
We're not saying this is a good thing.
He orchestrated it. He was a murderer, prohibition, bootlegger, thief.
Yeah.
Ran the freaking Chicago Mafia.
Yeah.
Well, the Italian side of it, because there's a whole bunch of different ones. But the fact... the only charge they could ever get to stick on him was tax evasion.
Listen.
Tax evasion.
There was nothing else they had on him.
He went to Alcatraz for tax evasion.
But they knew there was more to him, but they couldn't let anything stick. For me, that's great. And for me, once again,
puts him high up in my books.
Don't listen to my words, hear my heart. He went to prison when he was 33 years old. I feel like he should have had like a longer time outside of prison.
Oh, no, he was...
I don't think he should have... Because like when he got into Alcatraz, he started learning the banjo and stuff. And I feel like that sort of watered him down in my eyes. I wish like he was out until at least like they caught him at the age of 52.
Yeah, you know, like giving him some more time. I would have loved to see
not
how
to
he
kill people or anything. That's why we say he are hot.
Again, this is all hypothetical. Please note that. But another thing I loved about him is he was so public. He used to go to charity events and he'd go to like public events. People knew who Al Capone was in that time. Okay, like, but he got away with everything. Got away with it. He was like the most. I think at some point he was named public enemy number one.
Yeah.
You don't get that.
Yeah.
You don't just get to be public enemy number one. Ah, him high up. Points.
Another one that has points for me is Machine Gun Kelly.
Machine Gun Kelly.
What I don't like about his story. Okay, let's tell you who he is first. George Kelly Barnes, better known by his pseudonym Machine Gun Kelly, was an American gangster from Memphis, Tennessee during the Prohibition
era. Can I just tell you one second. Prohibition era, the 20s. Yeah. I was born in the wrong century.
Me too.
I should be in the 20s.
Me too.
This sounds bad, but I would kill to go back in time and be in the 1920s. Like, freaking hell. To be alive with these epic people.
Yeah.
No, I was born in the wrong century.
This guy was best known for kidnapping. And, like, he's the biggest kidnapping was the oil tycoon and businessman Charles F. Urschel in July 1933. And, obviously, they collected $200,000, which now sounds
$4 million.
And Urschel had collected and left a considerable amount of evidence and stuff, and he gave it to the FBI and they caught Kelly. Now, what I didn't like about Kelly was the fact that before...
Oh, just a thing. The reason they called him Machine Gun Kelly because his favorite weapon was a machine gun.
Yes.
A Thompson machine gun. Yeah. Just so you understand.
So, him and his best friend, sort of like gangmate, I don't know if they call each other best friends when you guys are like doing crime together. But like
partners in crime.
Him and that guy's wife ran away together, and then they obviously decided to hook up and whatever. And she's the one that actually made him start using machine guns and stuff.
Yeah.
So she was the one that was like, do it, kidnap, kill people. And he was just like, okay. So that for me is like, is he the gangster or is she the gangster?
Guys,
because
can I just say, again, it's going to sound wrong, but gangsters are just another level. Can I just say, I've always said if I was not born in the family I was born in,
yeah,
you would have caught me in the mafia.
Yeah.
100%. You would have caught me there.
Mafia bosses.
Yep. Kids. 100%. You would have caught me there. I wouldn't look back.
And then the next one was the Birdman of Alcatraz.
So he wasn't so bad on the outside, but the reason we put him here is actually because what he achieved basically inside the prison.
Yeah.
So basically while he was in another penitentiary, he studied birds a lot, and he actually published a book while he was in prison.
Yeah.
Okay. And in fact, some of his research actually led to a cure for hemorrhagic septicemia, whatever that is, disease. I assume it's a bird disease.
Yeah.
Which, I mean, you don't just do. Especially from a prison cell where you can't go do research and stuff like that.
Yeah.
But like, he was a killer and yeah. But like, that is, I mean, he had an IQ of 112.
Yeah.
You don't just have an IQ. That, okay, another thing, he was also a psychopath, and psychopaths with high IQs are, are your dangerous, dangerous. Imagine Albert Einstein with his IQ as a psychopath. Could you imagine the damage he could have done?
That would be crazy.
Okay.
For me, like the most interesting thing, well, I found it sad, because he was in a prison, and like basically, obviously, if you have strikes against you, people are not allowed to visit you.
Yeah.
So it was the day his mom was coming, and one of the guards had it in for him, like,
so that's heavy. Another thing I have with prison guards.
Yeah. They can be dodgy and shady. And what this guy did was, any little mistake that the Birdman of Alcatraz made that day, he recorded it, and he's like, your mom's not able to, and he's like, and he kept begging this guard, like, please, I need you to. And the final strike was when they're eating, and the rule was they needed to finish their food.
Yeah.
Like, you cannot leave anything. And he left some food on the plate, and the guard looked at him, and he was like,
no seeing your mom today.
Your mom's not coming.
Oh, and then he killed the guard.
And then he killed the guard. One of the inmates next to him gave him a weapon, and he killed the guard, and then he got transferred.
So that's why he got put in Alcatraz. But can we just quickly just talk about prison guards quickly? So there was a Stanford research, a experiment done where they took innocent people, or a class. I think it was a class.
Yeah,
made half of them prison guards and half of them prison mates. Now, remember, these kids, they're just kids, right? And they put them in a prison. They, like, designed a set with cameras and stuff like that so they could record it for research. And they put the inmates in cells, and they had to abide to the rules, and the guards had to enforce the rules.
Yeah.
So in the first few days, the guards' mentality, some of the kids' mentality had completely shifted, where they started beating the prisoners.
Yeah.
They started abusing their power.
Yeah.
So, like, the whole, because it was the whole point of the experiment was to show how power can sometimes be a bad thing. Does that make sense? So the fact, like, the documentary was actually quite scary about how these kids, in matters of like days, turned on each other, and it wasn't even the prisoners who were acting.
It was the guards.
It was the guards.
And we've seen a lot of abuse stories, and many people are like, "No, they officials.
I mean,
they would never."
But I mean, like, people claim. Obviously, in Alcatraz, it was banned. You can't beat up a prisoner, whatever. But it was said that
it did
happen. And even watching Prison Break, I'm bringing it back to that because it's just relevant. But you see that how the guards, like, the guards would steal stuff out. Because when you go into prison, you have to give up all your possessions.
Yeah.
The guards would steal their watches.
Yeah.
Or they'd, like skim money off of them and stuff like that. So
even the Birdman of Alcatraz said the reason he went to Alcatraz was because this book was becoming huge. The top officials in the prison they wanted profits, and he said no. And then they shifted him. They were like, okay, fine, you go to Alcatraz then.
So yeah, sometimes I feel like the prison warden, I mean, it's obviously, we can't generalize. I feel like there are some really good people out there working in prisons and stuff like that. But I do feel like your cases where the prison wardens and the prison guards can take their power. And I think, you know what, I think they justify it because it's like, well, these are criminals. Why yeah. should we give them the time of day? Yeah. They don't deserve the time of day. So, yeah, but there were some really interesting people who ended up in Alcatraz.
Yeah. And Alcatraz was a very interesting
prison. I wish, I want, it's on the bucket list.
Yeah. I want to go to Alcatraz.
But that is it for our show this week.
Yes. Signing out for another week with no serial killer this week. Next week, maybe, maybe not. You just have to come back and find out. But for another week, from Nancy Lee
and Danny,
rest in peace.
Like what you're listening to? Follow us on Gab and Twitter at ActiveFM, Instagram at ActiveFM777, and Facebook at /ActiveFM.